Welcome to Planet Upload. Planet Upload is a weekly podcast that takes an unfiltered look at the creator ecosystem, online video, and the social media landscape. I am Lauren Schnipper, creator and online video expert.
And I am Joshua Cohen, co-founder of 2Filter and the Streamy Awards. Lauren.
Yes.
I have a number for you, and then I want you to guess what that number represents.
Oh, okay.
120,000.
120,000 times that David Dobrik decided to start a new business this week, all of which he's doing?
Close. 120,000 people registered to vote.
Yeah.
After David Dobrik's Good to Vote 5 Tesla giveaway initiative.
I had a feeling. And as a teaser, we are going to have Ben Rellis on the podcast next week, who created this whole initiative through with Headcount to sort of gamify registering to vote with creators. And I'm so excited to talk to him about that because I just think this has been an amazing initiative.
Totally. Listen to the headline of this Forbes article. David Dobrik's Tesla giveaway was probably one of the largest U.S. voter registration drives ever.
I mean, that's pretty simple. I'm like, more? I guess simple is good.
It's
no, that's amazing.
Wild. Yeah. It's absolutely insane. I mean,
yeah, it's insane.
It's insane. It's exciting to see these people with huge, massive followings, but the power of those huge, massive followings to sometime a better use for the social good. And, you know, the more people voting, the more people we are to have a chance about getting the system better.
Because they're purposely, like, you know, nonpartisan. I wonder if well, most creators are reticent to sort of pick a candidate for obvious reasons. They don't want to alienate anybody, et cetera, but I wonder if part of the deal is like, yo, if you're going to do this, you also like kind of can't pick a candidate. Like, I'm wondering, like, that's a question for Ben next week. Like, I'm just curious, like, how they kind of play that. If there's any, I don't know who's governing this, but if there's rules around this or something like that. Very interesting. Very cool. I think, you know, at this, you know, people, kids today, I mean, you know, not to bring the party down, but I saw some horrible statistic where, like, young kids, like, don't even know what the Holocaust is. And so we need to mobilize our youth to become active in their lives and their governments and history. And I think this is incredible. And I'm so proud of, like, our community for doing this. I think this is amazing. I think it's been a long time coming to figure out kind of a happy medium to figure out, like, you know, where, they've been... So many creators have been like sort of scared to kind of go down this road. And I think we're in a new generation and people are mobilized and this is awesome.
Voting is such an easy one to get behind though, too.
Totally. Yeah, totally. But this campaign was just done in a way that that really speaks to this cohort of talent. So love it. Excited. I think we should just have to, this is a little bit of the Dobrik hour. We're going to have to just start with, he's had a big week. I dare say he is the, he's the Charlie D'Amelio of 2020, although she's the Charlie D'Amelio of 2020, but she equal is such as Charlie is having the best 2020 ever. I want to say Dobrik is having just about as equally of good as 2020. This week it was announced that he raised a $4 million seed round led by Alexis Ohanian, of course, the co-founder of Reddit, married to Serena Williams, no big deal. So many different backers of this. So it's for his app called Dispo, which is his disposable sort of camera, or the app inspired by disposable cameras. You take your photo, you don't get to see it until like the next day. It's so simple. It's so great. Brings me back to my youth when I would like literally run to the CVS photo lab to get my photos from like the party the night before. And you have that level of anticipation, which kids don't get today. And he evidently was inspired by kind of playing around with a disposable camera. And this is where this all came from. And I think this is, I just think this is so awesome.
This is very awesome. And here's what Alexis Ohanian had to say about it on Twitter. He said, "A new generation will get to grow up delighting in the moment instead of taking 1,000 photos, face-tuning them, picking the perfect caption, post them, chasing hearts, etc. They'll snap on Dispo and go back to living in the moment and share/bond over the great photos the next day." I like this idea in theory. So the whole premise of the app is just like actual physical disposable cameras. You don't get your pictures immediately. So In the app, you take pictures and you don't see them till 9 a.m. the next morning.
What if I took the picture, like, took it at like 11 p.m., no matter, like, whatever day, whatever time of day, it's 9 a.m. the next day, right?
I don't know the, like, idiosyncrasies of all the different mechanics.
Well, but I'd like to know what they are.
I think it's just at 9 a.m. the next day you get it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I love that premise. on paper and in theory, but I feel like if you give people a popular social network, they're going to figure out a way to make it less fun the more popular it gets.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. It's not that they're going to figure out, maybe it's saying the same thing, but they're going to have to innovate, right? Like, it can't just be this one thing the whole time. And so, and I'm sure they're already thinking about this, but like, I've seen this on the Instagram side, right? Like, it's like constantly like keeping it super simple, but then it's like for years, everybody's like, no, I need web, I need web, I need web, I need messaging on web. And it's like, no, no, we're never going to do that. Super simple. And then next thing you know, 10 years in or whatever it is, we now have got messaging on web. Like, they're just going to like, so I can imagine cut to like a few years from now, it's like you're going to have the version where you get it at 9 a.m., but you can like maybe, I don't know if they're going to do paid tiers, but they're going to do a paid tier where you could get it right away. You know what I mean? Like, so I just wonder what's the long tail sort of vision of this, because you have to constantly iterate. And is it just about making kind of the camera? Are they going to focus on the camera? Is it always going to be this kind of waiting? How is this going to grow? Because that's where I think you're probably saying the same thing. It's saying it in a different way, but like it becomes less fun. Like this is, the premise is great. What's it going to be?
Right. And it's a venture-backed company. So it needs to have, presumably, venture-backed returns. And
well,
so
it needs scale of users. That's what it needs. And yeah, so what's the monetization play? Is it going to be a tiered thing? If they were smart, I would not just be an ad-based platform, and I would just think about charging people. That's
totally.
That's
and I'm sure they have a ton of different ideas to answer all of these different questions. But this idea that Alexis Ohanian also said, David's genius idea will be a new, healthy, fun social network. And maybe I'm being myopic, or just I've been beat down by over a decade's worth of other social networks that turned into kind of cesspools that infringe on the very notion of democracy. But I just don't see how that could actually exist and also make a ton of dough.
They're going to be thinking about, so like, you know, there's a lot of things one can do with AI and sort of filtering in terms of commenting and all that sort of stuff that like Instagram has instituted in the last couple of years. Like apps like these are going to go out from day one with this sort of stuff. Like who knows, like a lot of people are leaning towards like no comments these days too. So like who even knows if there's going to be commenting on this, because that's where like the cesspools happen too, right? Like people just like are commenting with garbage because that's what they do. And so let's just imagine like if Instagram had zero comments, you know what I mean? Like that takes away like such a huge amount of kind of the negativity and the cesspool of it all. So you could go that far of an extreme. I mean, there are things you can do from day one. I think that if you have a paid tier, like if there's like, you know, sort of like a pay gate to things, like it helps, but it doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't mean it won't turn into porn. You know what I mean? Like which not that there's anything wrong with porn, but you know what I mean? Like, and that's not even that real negativity that I think we're both talking about. But so I think there's a lot of I'm sure they're thinking about, you know, all sorts of policy and that sort of stuff from day one. But I think you're right. It's hard. It's really hard these days. And so I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And the other side of my argument would be, I guess, TikTok. TikTok is generally pretty fun. Generally, a lot of people use it.
Yeah.
They use it even though they're not getting paid and don't really have the premise of getting paid, because maybe deep down people just want to create cool stuff for their friends to look at and say, hey, that was cool. Make some more of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think if you want to create this healthy, fun social network and this platform, people eventually are going to just gravitate towards, well, if I'm spending a lot of time on this thing and it's not giving me the financial benefit that my time is worth that I'm putting into it, I'm going to go do something else, right?
But I think, yes, but you're speaking of it from the perspective of a creator, and perhaps this is more about the kids. You know what I mean? Like this isn't necessarily about, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if their main goal is to onboard like every creator as much as it is to onboard, he's a creator, so it probably is, but it's like, I'm just thinking about myself as like a teenager, and I think this would be so cool, and I would want to use this, and I would want all my friends to use it. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
So if I were them, I would be thinking about more from a community aspect, and how do you get like those kind of cohorts like involved. So
yeah, that's fair. And again, with TikTok, with lots of the creators we've talked to that aren't huge and massive on TikTok, they just like doing it. And it's another outlet for them. that they can show a different side of their creativity, of their persona, of their personal life.
I mean, this
life.
Almost feels like what if it feels like if Instagram were born today, this is what it would kind of be like, right? Like it's like it's maybe their Instagram, at least initially, was all about kind of photography, really. Yeah. And so that's what it was about. So we'll see. But don't. But wait. There's more for Dobrik. There is rumors that he might be starting a little Dobrik, get it, pizza business. He's done some trademark filings. There is an Instagram account that is up right now with like a pizza slice with like Dobrik with no posts on it right now. So I mean, this dude. Best 2020, best year ever, David Dobrik. Between the perfume, the 4 million, the pizza, never ending.
On August 25th, he filed a trademark for David's Perfumes. And on the same day, DDIP Holdings, presumably David Dobrik IP Holdings, the LLC, also filed for three other trademarks, all for Dobrik's pizza. Mm-hmm. One was for merch related with it. One was for restaurant services related to the trademark. And the other was for frozen pizza.
Coming to a supermarket near you. Love it.
Perhaps.
Because he's from Chicago, right? That's why he's doing this. Hello.
Well, I think he's doing it because who doesn't love pizza? Also, he's from Chicago. Chicago kind of equals pizza, maybe.
Oh my God. Also, have you had deep dish? I mean, it's like a pie, but like in the pie sense. And it's, oh my God, that shit's good.
New Jersey has the best low-key best pizza in the country.
You need to calm down. Everything.
We'll have this argument later. But okay. Also, what's super interesting about this is because of the prevalence of ghost kitchens are basically kitchens you can rent out.
Right.
And so because of the prevalence of ghost kitchens now, influencers are able to kind of go create new products that are edible, that they don't have to go through all of the regulatory bureaucracy that they would need to go to if they were starting their own restaurant from zero.
I have to give a shout out to my buddy Adam Shapiro, who started something called Shappy Pretzels. Have I told you about this? This is crazy.
Go for it.
I'm real quick side note. So buddy Adam Shapiro, he's an actor, he's in tons of stuff. His wife is Katie Lowe. She was in Scandal. Old friend of mine. He's from Philly. He's baking during quarantine, as we all are. He's decided that he wants to perfect Philly pretzels, because I guess that's a thing. I'm not from Philly. I didn't know this. She co-hosts Ryan and Kelly one day, guest co-hosts from their living room, and he, as a gag, makes these Shappy pretzels and puts a logo on it and had sent it to Ryan because he's like, here's our pretzels. He's like, oh my God, these are the greatest things ever. Next thing you know, he gets 500 orders in his inbox. Next thing you know, he started a business called Shappy Pretzels. This reminded me because he's doing a ghost kitchen. He was doing it out of his actual kitchen. He got like what they call a cottage license where you can start a business but he was over. He's getting 1,000 pretzel orders a day from like Bradley Cooper because he's from Philly. Will Smith. He just partnered with like a bakery in a ghost kitchen. And it's the craziest thing ever. The man has Shappy Pretzels plug. They're so good, by the way. It's like a 2-week wait to get a pretzel. I'm just saying, start your pretzel business. Do your ghost kitchens. Now's the time. People are eating carbs.
That's amazing. And just from a shout out on one show, one morning.
One show, one morning. Literally. It has blown up. He's literally getting 1,000 orders a day. It's bananas. And he's like an actor and he's amazing. And I'm calling him being like, we need to talk about your Q4 plans. For those of you don't know, that's the fourth quarter of the year, which is usually, you know, for anybody selling goods is usually the biggest quarter because it's Christmas and holidays, whatever. And he was like, oh my God, I've never heard the term Q4 before. This is amazing. Cause he's brilliant, but he's an actor. He's never started a business before. It's so good.
So if he's able to do this,
imagine what Dobrik could do.
Yeah, the dude that just registered the 120,000 people to vote can do.
I mean, it's like,
it's going to be bonkers.
I love it. I know that Dobrik, you know, from kind of my work over the last year, has been trying to figure out a lot of, you know, new businesses and ideas and stuff like that. And it's so cool to see all this come to fruition. I am just such a fan of creators being smart about this and figuring it out and being innovative. And I think this is just, all jokes aside, this is a really big moment in the creator economy. The man raised $4 million for his startup. I mean, this is a creator-led business. This is huge. So huge. I think we just need to take a moment and respect it.
Also, shout out to Natalie, David's long-term friend and business partner. She had a tweet, everyone, David, you're having an amazing year. Keep it up. You're killing it. David, this is ridiculous. I haven't done anything all year. Dobrik team. Yeah, but the rest of us have.
Wow. I love it. I love it. I love it. I actually found out a friend of mine is Dobrik's lawyer, Matt Belinsky, because he was Instagramming about this. And I'm going to see if he wants to come on as a guest to see if he can talk about it. Lawyers obviously have certain things they can't talk about, but perhaps he with what's public, he can give us some more insight into all this that's going down. So stay tuned, Belinsky. I'm going to be calling you. One more thing along these sort of creators, kind of, you know, building businesses, back to the Sway LA house, Josh Richards, Bryce Hall, Griffin Johnson. They all invested in LendTable's $3 million seed round. So LendTable is a startup that provides users with cash advances so that they are able to fully contribute to their employer-matched 401k retiring accounts. I mean, did I ever think that there would be a day where creators would be investing a period and investing in something that in regards to your retirement account? I mean, this is... I'm quelling for those that know what that means. This is crazy and so cool and forward thinking, and I just love it.
And Bryce Hall, one of the investors in this from the Sway House, has that new financial podcast with Pomp, mm-hmm. Capital University, where mm-hmm. they talk about financial planning and growing your businesses to attain multi-generational wealth. This is obviously mm-hmm. a component of that, investing in these startups. And mm-hmm. I think in that episode, he talked about how creators are kind of the new athletes. Creators have a limited lifespan of being creators, generally speaking. So do athletes. They make a ton of money in that time, and then they don't make a lot of money, generally speaking, again, throughout the rest of their careers. So what can they do with their money during that time to make sure that lasts them forever and more? And I think there's an interesting corollary here, too, between creators as investors and athletes as investors. Athletes started to make a ton more dough in the past decade because basically the television rights for all of the professional sports organizations increased like exponentially. And that was then through the Players Association's agreements with the leagues, distributed a lot of it through the players too. So these minimum salaries for athletes, instead of being several hundred thousand dollars, close to a million, topping a million, are now like these athletes are making, the lowest paid ones in the league are making a couple million dollars a year at least. That gives them with a lot of disposable income to invest. So they've been investing a lot more into startups and different companies. And now we're seeing that with the creator ecosystem too, mm-hmm. where creators are making a ton more dough because that's where the advertising industry is going, and that's where the entertainment industry is going, and that's where the eyeballs from consumers are going. And now they're putting that dough into new companies too, and it's just cool to see.
Well, I think to that point, not only is that where obviously the ads are going, but it's where, you know, it's really about, I think it's really about the brand deals and the branded content, all that sort of stuff. And specifically speaking, this year, there was a report that came out from Takumi, which surveyed 3,500 consumers and brands and creators in August. And according to this, 73% of brands are upping their influencer marketing spend, which is really interesting because we all didn't know what was going to happen as a result of COVID, like at all. And I think initially people were really, brands specifically, were really reticent and to do anything new or, you know, put any more money into anything. That's certainly been my experience just in the industry, seeing that people have been really sort of nervous. But now, you know, we're all kind of settled into this new reality for the time being. And now, you know, the branded content is going to be, it's huge right now. And they're also saying that right now, 60% of marketers surveyed said that creator-focused ads have a higher return on investment than traditional ads. That's a big deal.
It's totally a big deal. We talked about this at the beginning of the lockdown with the pandemic, where there are these shifts in media consumption that are happening in dramatic ways. And when things go back to normal, if they ever go back to normal, those shifts in media consumption aren't going back to the normal that they were before. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some fundamental changes in the way people consume entertainment and the types of creators and content they seek out because of all this. And so with television ratings going down, people having been exposed to all these different types of platforms and entertainment mediums to consume content on, it makes sense for these brands to go after all of these content creators. These brands that were perhaps reticent to go after them before, now they're shifting budgets over there as maybe a test during the pandemic, and now in more meaningful ways because they see that it's working. I mean, this is something that Ian Borthwick from SeatGeek and other people that have been in the influencer marketing space have known forever, is that this stuff works. It converts. I mean, look at the dude that just got 120,000 people to register to vote and more. And mm-hmm. so
Imagine what his branded content rates are like these days.
Right, totally.
They're going to be insane.
So I think this is just the beginning. I think marketers are starting to get a taste of this. I mean, Charlie D'Amelio did a deal with Dunkin' Donuts this year. Before that, her and her sister did a deal, a jeans deal with Hollister. And so I think this is just the tip of this. I think we're going to see still dramatic shifts in budget and in new advertisers coming into this creator space in way more meaningful ways.
Totally. Keep going down the road of just, you know, creators building business. So it's finally happened. Kids Diana Show, which is the, of course, one of the YouTube shows by the Ukrainian YouTube phenom Diana, has begun her through has partnered with Pocket Watch, and they are now toys are being sold in Walmart. And to get your toys in the lights of the Walmart and the Targets and the big box stores of the world is just not only is it a huge kind of win and accomplishment, it just means that you're going to make a lot of money. To get actual shelving on these in these stores is just so huge. We're seeing it right now with Heritage by Mindy McKnight. Huge. And so this is just another huge moment. Of course, Pocket Watch is behind the sort of massive franchise IP development of Ryan's Toys. And this is just huge. I mean, she has 143 million subscribers across her family of 14 channels. And you know, what she does mostly is translate her content into different languages, which is genius. And this is, I think this is going to be huge. It's interesting. Pocket Watch, you know, started by Chris and David Williams, brothers, been in the industry forever, Maker alums, amongst many other things, you know, a huge hit out of the gate with Ryan's Toys. And they've had a couple other things that they've kind of tried to get out. I don't think have been as big. This is going to be huge. This is going to be another huge one.
They have a suite of family channels that they work with, none of which are as big as Ryan. Ryan kind of takes a lot of the air out of the room when people talk about them and just what's going on in the space. Yeah. I mean, Ryan has over 1,000 licensed products.
It's crazy.
And is set to do close to $200 million in sales this year.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And so with that track record, they're able to take then another monster show and, like you said, get this really desired real estate in Walmart too.
Yeah.
Just to give you some context, Ryan's World, his main YouTube channel, got 604 million views in September.
Okay.
Kids Diana Show got 2.9 billion.
On her one channel?
On her one channel.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing.
That's insane.
And her trajectory has been nuts. So last October, Kids Diana Show was getting 1 billion views a month, which was still massive, but to almost triple that in a year, like something's going on with this kid.
What's going on? What's happening? On the one channel, you're not talking the aggregate.
I'm not talking the aggregate. I'm talking on her one main Kids Diana Show channel.
Wow.
I think part of it has to do with the pandemic. In March, she was getting 2.3 billion views a month. So around the 700 million view increase in the past 6 or 7 months.
Oh my God.
It's just nuts. It'll be interesting to see how that translates into sales. Like how much of her audience is US-based, much of her audience is global. Ryan had a really strong brand that involved like playing with toys, unboxing toys, doing stuff with toys. Kids Diana Show is more of a show. So it'll be interesting to see how it sells. I have no doubt it's going to sell well. Just how well? Is it going to be okay or is it going to be amazing?
And also, of course, with, you know, having the pandemic, like how many people are going into Walmarts and stuff these days? I mean, people are, but I think it's, you know, at least, I don't know, I can speak for myself and sort of my circle. It's like you're going into the places to do very specific things. You're not like dilly-dallying down the toys aisle, which is like with your kids, which is like what people historically do. And that's when they, you know, do spending that they weren't planning on doing and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see how this launches in the middle of a pandemic.
Totally. But to be fair, a couple of these big box store companies have done really well during the pandemic. Like Target, has gone up 60% in its stock price since the pandemic started.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of it has to do with curbside pickup. A lot of it has to do with
nobody else was allowed to be opened and all that sort of stuff.
Right, exactly.
So, there's a lot of factors into that. So I think it's a little bit inflated and we'll come back down at some point. But yeah, no, totally. Very interesting. Okay, so there's a ton. I have a couple uploads. Do you want to go first?
You first, Lauren, please.
Well, this is hot off the presses. Of course, we are last night was the vice presidential debate. And I don't know how many people watched it. But during the debate, Mike Pence had the unfortunate luck of having a fly sit on his head for a good amount of time. And he has very white hair, so you really couldn't miss it. There's a comedian that I'm embarrassed to say I didn't know of until today named Jordan Firstman, who on Instagram, he describes himself as a closeted gay filmmaker, actor, writer for thousands of TV shows such as Search Party, The Other Two, Big Mouth, and No Others, Won't Come Out, Don't Ask, which is hysterical. And he did a video where he's the fly's publicist and basically congratulating the fly on this amazing, you know, thing that he didn't know was happening. It's the funniest shit I've heard in a very long time. And I cannot recommend it highly enough. I have shared it on my Instagram for those of you that follow me. Schnipstar, check it out. It is hilarious.
This is the only, to be clear, this is the only good Mike Pence fly-related content on the internet.
It because there's a lot of fly-related content right now.
Everything else is so lame. This is the only good thing.
This is so brilliant. It is so good. It hurts. I've watched it like 5 times and just, it's amazing. I highly, highly recommend. Oh God. I have a, the internet is good this week. I got more, but you go.
Yeah. Shout out to Ocean Spray, Fleetwood Mac, and TikToker Nathan Apodaca.
Yep.
Who Nathan Apodaca is this 37-year-old TikToker. He goes by the moniker 420dogface208 on TikTok.
Yep.
And he's been on TikTok for a while. He's been on TikTok for a while just doing whatever. You know, trying to get on whatever different meme is happening at the time. And then he just did this video where he's skateboarding to Fleetwood Mac's Dreams and drinking some Ocean Spray. And
lip syncing a little bit, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then within a few weeks, it has 24.3 million views, put Fleetwood Mac back on the charts for the first time in a couple decades, got the CEO of Ocean Spray to join TikTok.
And do his version of it, yep.
It's a cool feel-good story in a time where there aren't lots of feel-good stories.
Not to mention, so then I got Mick Fleetwood of Fleetwood Mac to do his version of it. This is the internet at its best, might I say. I think that we all can be down on the internet and the negativity that it's bringing to the world. This is what we need. This dude who's skateboarding, lip-syncing Ocean Spray, you've got, it brings this song, which is a brilliant song, Fleetwood Mac, amazing band, back to the charts. You've got, you know, Mick Fleetwood doing his thing. You've got the Ocean Spray. And then the Ocean Spray sent him, like, just like a truckload of Ocean Spray. Who drinks cranberry juice out of the bottle? You know who does? 420dogface208. That's who does. It is the internet at its best.
Yeah, and that truck filled with Ocean Spray, Nathan Apodaca actually got to keep the truck too. Yeah, so that was a cool gift from Ocean Spray.
Yeah. I saw somebody, like some Twitter thread or something, where somebody's like, Ocean Spray, are you on this? And they were kind of like, we're on it, don't worry. Like, it was amazing. Good for Ocean Spray. Why not? Give them a little boost. I love it. I love it. And one more, just in delightful internet moments. Have I watched the movies Kissing Booth and Kissing Booth 2 on Netflix? I have. Have I enjoyed them? Hate watch? Yes, I have. Honest Trailers, which has been around for a long time. I think they started, it was like Break Media and Defy Media, where they basically just like they re-edit or create a trailer based on movies that really show you what the movie's about. So they did, people were like, you've got to do an Honest Trailer on the Kissing Booth movies because they're ridiculous. They're like, they're trying to be like the John Hughes kind of 80s love, whatever. There's the guy in it. Josh, I laughed out loud. Literally LOL'd like several times. It is so brilliant. It's so good. And I'm just, you know what? I just want to thank the internet this week because I've had some delightful laugh out loud moments. And that's all I needed.
And an episode of Planet Upload would not be complete without a Charli D'Amelio news story. She was also named the face of Gen Z focused financial startup Step. Where Step was started in 2018. It's raised $26.3 million in venture funding. And its flagship teen-specific product is the Step Card, which is a novel type of debit-credit hybrid. It only lets teens spend the money that is currently in the account so they cannot spend more than what they have. It functions to the consumer just like a traditional debit card, according to Alexei Kalinchenko, who's one of the founders of Step. Another win for Charli D'Amelio, and another example of just this new kind of generation of influencers having a mind towards finances and financial security and different products to help others realize that too.
We did it! We've got a lot of exciting things coming up on the podcast, including some guests that we mentioned. So stay tuned. Keep listening.
Lauren, I'll see you on TikTok drinking some ocean spray.
Oh, yeah.
And if not, then...
Can I make a joke about cranberry juice and UTIs? No, too much.
Maybe next week on Planet Upload. Today's show was produced by Lauren Schnipper and me, Joshua Cohen. Original music is by London Bridge. You can check him out on Instagram at London Bridge Music. Make sure you subscribe to Planet Upload on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're there, give us a rating, leave us a comment too. If you have any questions, hit us up over email. We're at planetuploadpod@gmail.com. We will do our best to answer those on a future episode of Planet Upload. And if you like the show, please recommend it to a friend, colleague, or loved one. Thanks for listening to the podcast, and we will be back next week.